indoor service here, and so I'm very happy to be in this space with you, getting the chance to worship together this morning. It is, though, a bittersweet morning, as this is our farewell service for our Pastor Nick, and the last service that he and his family will be with us before they move out to British Columbia and start a very new and exciting chapter in their lives. So we are so thankful for the work and the presence here of Pastor Nick and Megan and their girls, Jubilee and Lucia, and we want to take time to celebrate and thank and bless them today. We look forward to hearing music this morning led by our praise and worship team, but a reminder that we are still humming along, so just a reminder for that as we get to that portion of the service. And Paul Adams will be bringing the message to us this morning, and we look forward to hearing from him later on in the service. Following that, there will be a time of presentations led by our congregational chair, Kevin Entz. And then there will be some time for sharing of words of blessing for Nick and Megan and the girls. So I will highlight a few key announcements, but I do encourage you to take the time and read through the bulletin if you haven't done so already. We are looking forward to our corn roast this coming Saturday, September the 18th. From 4 until 6 p.m. So I invite you to come out and have some free corn and enjoy some wonderful live music shared with us by Before Midnight. And I know there was some thought that we might not be able to host the barbecue portion of the corn roast as we have in previous years, but I can confirm that we will be having a barbecue this year with the hopes of raising funds for our youth ministries. And just a note that the barbecue will be served at 5 o'clock, but the event does run from 4 until 6. And so we hope that you can join us. If you have any questions, you can ask myself, and I look forward to that. This morning, just before our service, we had our first week of Sunday school, and it was a very exciting time getting to be together. If you missed it, fear not, we will be back together next week and the week after for lots of fun, and so we hope to see you there. And as we glance at the week at a glance, we see that we are getting back to our regular scheduled programming, so the evenings and life of the church here are filling up once again, and we are excited to see that. So just a note that on Wednesday, there is the Chorus Niagara Children's Choir rehearsal. So just so you know, that is happening in the building and outdoors. And Thursday is the start of our Kids Club and Junior Youth programs, which I am very excited about. Yes, they are both running on the same evening at the same time this year. We are trying something new, looking forward to a new feel for our programs. They will be, you know, overlapped somewhat, but not completely intertwined. So if you are connected with either of those programs and have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me, and I would be happy to chat with you about that. Then on Friday evening is our first senior youth night, and a note for those involved with that, we are back to 7 to 9:30 p.m., so just be sure of that, and we will see you on Friday. And then Saturday is our corn roast, again, 4 to 6. And then we're back to Sunday morning with Sunday school and our worship service. So it is a busy week and it is full, but we are very thankful for the chance to be together and learn together. So we'll move on to our call to worship, which comes from Psalm 104, verses 31 to 34. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May the meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. So let us move into a time of music as we listen to All Things Bright and Beautiful. Thank you. So let us join together in a time of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of your church. Through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, you have brought us together in love and made us your own. We pray you will continue to pour out your Spirit on us, that we may proclaim the good news of your love in all that we say and do. Lord, we know that for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. As we see Pastor Nick's time with us come to an end, we give thanks for his work and commitment to our church and congregation. As he and his family journey to begin this new chapter, we pray that you would surround them with your protection and your peace and your love. We thank you for the gift that Pastor Nick and Megan and their children have been to us. We know you have blessed their coming here. You are blessing this goodbye, and we continue to be with and bless them as they go from here. We look at the unknown that lies ahead for us as a congregation, sometimes with uncertainty, but also with hope and anticipation. Guide us as we make decisions and plans in these coming weeks and months, and help us to trust in your care and provision, and to remember that you walk along this journey with us. We hold one another in our hearts and pray for those within our community and world that are hurting, suffering, grieving, healing. For those that have lost a loved one and are grieving, for those who are experiencing health issues and are battling, for those carrying the weight of what is affecting those around them and are supporting, we lift them all to you and ask that your hand be upon them. May they feel your presence and your mercy. You are an all-knowing and ever-present God. You have been with us through our past, you walk with us in our present, and you are already there ahead in our future. May our church continue to be blessed by you, and may you help us to be a people who point others to you. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We will move into a time of song again with All Creatures of Our God and King, and then hear a recording of Holy and Mighty by our praise and worship choir.
All Creatures creatures of our God and King. Lift up your voice and with us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, oh, praise him. Water. Director of Music, A Psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing to the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Thank you, Marian. May God indeed speak to our hearts through the reading of his precious word. The choice of hymns, the scriptures, and even my invitation to preach, we give thanks to Pastor Nick for his hand and pulse upon even this service this morning. Indeed, Psalm 19 that has been read to us is part of the revised lectionary reading for this morning. And we know that this would be one of Pastor Nick's most special readings from the scriptures. Experiencing God with all of our senses would be the sermon title that I have chosen as we meditate for these few moments on Psalm 19. However, before we turn to Psalm 19, allow me to begin with what probably is one of the Bible's most dramatic experiences with Christ. I'm referring, of course, to the Apostle Paul's conversion experience on the road to Damascus, found in Acts chapter 9. It was dramatic. It was transformative, and it was utterly life-changing. This experience became central. It became crucial. It shaped all that he was to touch and write. The pulse of this transformation that the Apostle Paul experienced is found throughout his writings in the Christian Bible. Well, most of us would never have experienced, though some may have, such a dramatic, glorious transformation in our coming to a knowledge of God through Jesus Christ, our rock and our Redeemer, our Savior and our Lord. Yet life-changing transformation, that experience and a variety of experience over our life journey is what it's all about. And it should touch all of our senses. This morning, we will take a brief glimpse into the marvel of the Christian experience and our own transformation. It's touching us. It's changing us. It's molding us into the image of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But just step back for a moment In his earliest days as a young man, the psalmist David, who recorded these holy words from Psalm 19 to be sung by the congregation, no doubt his mind and his body were experiencing the love of God as he was caring for his father's sheep. He had already begun to devote himself to the marvelous meditation upon God's two great books. The two great books. How God reveals himself in nature and in the cosmos, in the spheres that surround us, and in the Holy Scriptures. And here it is in Psalm 19. He shows his own grasp of the world book and also of the word book. He's able to write, "My God wrote them both. And they are both for our encouragement and for that process of transforming us as we experience God in the world and in the Word." So come with me this morning as we seek to experience God with all of our senses. Well, I believe that all Scripture is God's Word to us. There is just something very special about the psalm that we are looking at today. I know it is special to me, and I believe it is special to many of you as well. But just for today, let's allow it to be that very special psalm for Pastor Nick and for Megan and the girls. The psalmist David shows God's breath, that God has breathed his divine spirit. And the psalmist David picks up his holy pen and he begins to write something of the world book and of God's word book in this Psalm 19. And we will but touch on the highlights of this psalm this morning. We use the word, and I'm using the word experience when we talk about experiencing God. I'm using it in that classic definition, an event that is regarded as affecting me. It's affecting oneself. It's the events that touch our lives, and through that there is an experience and a connection that we have. We often use expressions like life experiences or job experiences, or we say she or he has no experience, no skill, no practice. And this morning we want to take a few moments and just look at who God is as revealed in the Psalms and how we can experience this God in the Psalms. We will follow this psalm and look at three basic divisions in the psalm, and they are, of course, quite easy to follow. From this psalm, I would invite you to take a look at God's glorious mountain views. Climb up God's glorious mountains and see the vistas of God's world, God's creation, and the cosmos. From this psalm, I would invite you to wade into the holy word of God, the scriptures, and experience God and God's awesome presence and the divine that speaks into our lives. And then finally, we want to see what type of a response we are able to experience from God and our God experiences. And so transformation is the key that we wish to dwell on this morning, and the experiences that touch our senses. God reveals himself through his works and the world of creation in verses 1 through 6. God's creation speaks daily of God's glory. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. The firmament, the sphere, the cosmos, the dome of all of the created order proclaims his handiwork. We speak often, we use the word glorious to refer to, oh, what a glorious sunrise, sunset. All of creation itself, it reverberates, it pulses, it gives to us the sense of God's glory. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. The Apostle Paul also affirms this truth in the New Testament scriptures in the book of Romans, chapter 1. The truth is that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his divine power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, Romans 1, verse 20. And so in that sense, we must experience God. We are invited to experience God in all of the created order. And then Paul adds in that text in Romans 1, verse 20, something of a finger-pointing postscript when he says, and therefore we have no excuse in our experiencing of God. God's creation speaks to the entire human family through the world. Here we have the personification of all of creation. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Again, to quote the interpretation of Eugene Peterson in The Message, their silence fills the earth, Peterson writes. Who has an unspoken truth, and it's spoken everywhere. Do we hear and experience the voice of God in the wind, in the songbirds, in the crickets, in the cicadas, in the crash of the waves upon the seashore? As we climb those mountains, those hills, in the rarefied air of a mountain hike, creation itself, though silent, speaks everywhere. And we ought to hear the language of God in creation. Recently, I just finished reading a couple of books. One was called The Hidden Life of Trees, and it spoke concerning the language of trees. And then most recently, I read a wonderful little book by Vanessa Dieffenbach called The Language of Flowers. The Language of Flowers. Do we hear the language of God, and do we experience it with our senses as we are going about in God's awesome creation? One of my favorite hymns, if I was going to choose a hymn for today's service for myself, it would be, This is My Father's World. And to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. Oh yes, God has revealed his holy character in all of creation. But we hasten on to the second division in our outline, which is that marvelous section found in verse 7 and in verse 8. God reveals himself through the word. Allow me to read those words that Miriam read earlier from verse 7 and verse 8 concerning the law of the Lord, but I will read it in Peterson's interpretation. This is how he phrases verse 7 and verse 8 that speaks of the nature of the word and what the word does in the life of the Christian who is experiencing the divine through the word. Hear these words from Peterson's The Message. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and and points out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. Oh, God's word is wonderful, and we cherish it, and we lift it up, and it is central in our worship, in our teaching, in our experiencing, and in the transformation that is taking place from here to glory in the life of every child of God. The law is perfect. The testimony is sure. The statutes are right. The commandments are pure. God's word is wonderful because it converts the soul. It brings salvation. And it's through the word that we come to a knowledge of our Redeemer, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It brings us wisdom. It brings us joy. And it brings us discernment and direction. For everything, there is a season. And in God's word, we experience that transforming power. God's word is to be Holy Spirit breathed into our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our very senses should tingle as we grasp and read the word of God. And the final little division in this awesome Psalm 19, God's revelation demands a response. It demands a response. And that first line found in verse 9 of Psalm 19 says, "The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever." Now let's be clear. When we read that word in our translations, the fear of the Lord, it almost sounds like, whoa. Do we have a punitive God? Do we have a punishing God? Do we have a God who is to be standoffish and is judgmental of the child of God? One only has to do a study in the book of the Proverbs to realize that it has to do with a reverential trust. I trust God. With a holy fear, a reverential trust that God knows what is best for me. We read in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." You see, a proper, true, holy, reverential fear of God is demonstrated in our desire for God's word in verse 9 and verse 10. They're more precious than gold. We receive the warnings of God's word. By them your servant is warned. We also know that we receive rewards and blessings. In keeping of them, there is great reward. For as we follow the word of the Lord, we are kept on a path of truth and purity and righteousness, and blessings come into our life. Of course, when we read God's word, it requires a response. Sometimes there's a willingness on our part to confess our sins. "Forgive my hidden faults," the psalmist writes. And we know, according to the apostle, the beloved apostle John, when John says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us, 1 John 1, verse 9. And also, in praying for God's help to have victory over sin, that the sins will not rule over us. Our desire, our response to the word and to the world, "Let the words of my mouth," the psalmist David concludes the psalm, "and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. This prayer comes from David as he listens for the whisperings or murmurings that we experience when we are open to hear God speak into our hearts and souls. I love that word murmuring. Other translators have suggested that we could use the word whisperings, the whisperings of my heart. May the meditation or the murmurings of my heart be acceptable to you. May the whisperings. And so we see that experiencing God's divine presence is not simply a knowing. It's not just a signing of a doctrinal statement saying, well, I'm a member of St. Catherine's United, member of a church, and so I'm going to sign the doctrinal statement there. I believe. And yes, I believe I know what I believe. But a wonderful experience of hearing God speak to us. That's what it's all about. This is a huge step in our being shaped into the person that God desires us to be. I can imagine Pastor Nick and Megan and the girls trekking through trails and pausing to view some awesome vistas of God's creation. Whether it's on our own Bruce Trail, do I hear an amen, Nick? Or the grand mountains of the coastal mountains of British Columbia, knowing that God's presence, as Pastor Nick said last Sunday, surrounded by the holy mountains, surrounded, protected, cared for, upheld, as they meditate on God's word, and as they experience God in this world, I believe they will hear God's gentle whisper. When I was a young dad, my wife Candy and I, we had three little boys. And one of my favorite Christian gospel songs, some of you young'uns won't even know who Bill and Gloria Gaither is. How many here know who Bill and Gloria Gaither are? Oh, there you go. And you know, back in the 80s when our boys were just little ones, the age of Megan and Nick's girls, there was a very popular Bill and Gloria Gaither song called, I'm not going to sing it. Oh, I may. God loves to talk to little boys when they're fishing. That seems to be the time God boys listen best. It's the only quiet time there is for wishing. It's the only time when God and boys can rest. God loves to talk to little boys and big boys and little girls and big girls when we're quiet, when we're moving about God's creation, when we are still, when we are quiet. When it comes to experiencing God's presence and leading, often we speak of waiting on God and waiting on the Word speaking to us. My challenge to the Sherman family, myself, and the church community is to listen for God's murmurings, whisperings, to just be still and allow God to speak. We do that sometimes when we're quietly reading a phrase or a verse or a portion of God's holy word. We do it sometimes when we're sitting and are still by a babbling brook on the crest of a hill to listen for the whisperings, the murmurings. To experience God with all our senses will be experienced by each of us in multiple ways, in varied ways. Looking up into the sky, and suddenly there is a sun shower cooling our skin, feeling the wind on our face, splashing in the water, feeling our hearts beat quickly as we climb and crest that next mountain or knowing that you have received in your heart a fresh murmuring, a fresh whispering, as you have sat with and received and experienced a word from the Lord, as you have been reading his word and meditating upon it. May the sun shower upon us as we listen for the whisperings of God, changing us, transforming us. May the words of our mouths and the meditations or whisperings of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Good morning. It's nice to see everybody inside for a change. It's been a while. At this time, as we have this special Sunday as recognition and a celebration for Pastor Nick's ministry here with us as a congregation, we wanted to take a bit of time to recognize him formally as a congregation and as church leadership. So in a few minutes, we're going to have a time of open mic. So if you would like to say something, please get some thoughts in your head, and we'll be bringing a portable mic around in a few minutes. But I wanted to say on behalf of council and church leadership, what a privilege it was to have Nick here for the past almost 6 years. When he initially joined us as youth worker, we thought, my goodness, this is not a youth worker, and we saw him grow over time. From youth worker to youth pastor to co-pastors with Randy, Pastor Randy, and then in January of last year to lead pastor. He has been a comfort to all of us here during his time, and we want to thank him and wish him and Megan and the children well as they go on this next journey and chapter in their life. So where's Nick? Is he around here somewhere? In the back. Nick, you got to come up to the front, my friend. We have a couple of presentations here for you on behalf of council and the congregation. I'll put my mask back on for this. Come on up. Don't be shy. We don't bite after all this time. We wanted to give you a couple of things. First of all, we wanted to thank you for your service to our congregation these past 6 years. It's been a wonderful blessing for us, and we hope that we've been a blessing to you. And we wanted to give you a little something for you. We know that We know that you and your dad are going to be traveling out by car with a U-Haul carrying some of that stuff. So we wanted to give you and your dad a little something to keep you awake on that travel journey. So we have some Tim Hortons gift cards for you so that you can stay awake for that long, long travel. And then, as Paul was saying about in his sermon about your love of nature, we've gotten you a gift card to Mountain Equipment Co-op, which is, for those of you who don't know, is a popular store for those who are outdoors-oriented, for mountaineering and things like that. So we have that for you as well. But we also have, I'm going to go down here. Yes, this is what we think of Nick, is a garbage bag. You've been a comfort to us, and so we hope that these will be a comfort to you and Megan, and we also have one for Jubilee and Lucia as well. quilts that our Home Mission Circle has made, and we hope that they will bring you comfort as you go forward in your journey, wherever that may be, and that when you see those, that you'll think of us and your time spent here. So thank you very much. We'll have a bit of a time of sharing at this point, so I'll bring a microphone around. I think Russell is going to bring the microphone around. So if you would like to say something, please stand up, and then just please keep your mask on.
Hello, there we go. Okay.
So if you would like to say something, please feel free to stand up, and then we'll bring it over.
Nick already knows this, but I want all of you to know it. Nick has led our middle of life group. This is people that are very involved in church and leadership. Marion, Jeff, Ziggy, Doug and Renee, Ingrid and Henry, Elaine and Pete, like people who are always, and Ed and I, always in leadership. And it's hard for us to be in a group, a small group, let's say, without having to lead it. And so we've really appreciated Nick leading our group, where we don't have to lead. We can just come and be nourished and spend time together. Nick knows that. I've told him this many times, but I want you to know what Nick has done for our age group, and we thank you again for that.
I also just wanted to thank Nick for always reaching out, seeing how I'm doing with new job, new dog, that sort of situation. And I'm not great at answering emails, and I'm really sorry about that. it's so appreciated, and I really thank you for that. You've done such a great job these past 6 years, and, you know, thanks so much.
So to keep it short, because I could go on and on, when I will remember Nick, I think I'll always remember kindness and caring. And it started with such kindness and caring toward my boys when they were very young and just entering youth and shepherding through baptism and church membership. People who are parents know that means the world. But then in most recent days, just always a kind word, a little email, a text, checking up a book, a message that really speaks to our hearts. And there's not a time after Nick has preached that we don't find ourselves, as we're driving home, talking together about the simple life application that we found in that. So we're super grateful. You've grown all of us as Christians and comforted us so greatly, and in joys and in sorrows, and we will miss you.
On a lighter note, I just want to say that when Nick first got here, I had a hard time hearing and understanding him. Now, my hearing isn't very good at all, you know, and I have a real problem with that. But I got to say that over the years, Nick has improved tremendously. He always makes an effort to be more distinct, to be heard. I think he considered me in that regard. So I want to thank him for it. And we wish you all the best in BC, you and Megan.
What would it be if we don't both say something? I want to say something totally different. I want to thank you and Megan for having children, for having Jubilee, we don't know Lucia, but Jubilee to me was a joy on Sunday mornings. We sat just about over here. She would peek over the pew, and it was such a delight to see, and that's the hope of the church for the future, and we hope for you as a family in BC, and wish you God's blessing.
I have a story to tell. I'll make it really short. At the beginning of the summer, when my doctor informed me that I had a 3-centimeter growth lump on my pancreas, at first I looked at him in disbelief, and yet he said to me, "It's serious, Irene." Oh, I knew it was serious. However, when I started consulting and recruiting our believers, a lot of you don't know of this, but Nick, I consulted as well as Pastor Randy. They have been there for me. They have prayed. They have checked in with me. They communicated. There is nothing finer than our praying family of God, who supported, who prayed, who checked in, who communicated, who uplifted, who helped me through it. I was to go for a CAT scan. I did, ultimately, 2 months later. By that time, the results showed absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I received a clean bill of health, and I praise God for it. And I want to thank Pastor Nick for being there, Pastor Randy as well, and all the other prayer warriors. Praise God all over again. And may he bless every one of you who assisted in praying. Amen. Thank you.
Just thought I would quickly speak on, from my own experience, but also on behalf of the youth. Thank you so much for everything, Nick. You are truly a mentor for all of us. Not only a mentor, but a example of somebody that we need to strive to be like. And for me personally, you have been, you know, more than a pastor, but a friend. And somebody who I will cherish closely in my life. And I'm looking forward to continuing our friendship even when you're in BC. So thank you for that.
Anybody else? Alvin, I think you wanted to say something. All at the front, Ross. Oh, you can speak here.
Yes, Nick. You were actually a bit of an experiment, as was said already. That you interviewed as a youth worker, and immediately we decided, no, this is a youth pastor, and we were part of an experiment, as I said, with even with MCEC. This was the whole concept of growing our own pastor. It seemed to be a new concept to MCEC. I had the privilege of representing you in the congregation. At two meetings that we were at MCEC, speaking on your behalf toward his ordination, which also then took place, and so that was for me a great privilege. And anyways, thank you, Nick. Thank you, Megan, wherever you are, and the kids. And hopefully, we will see you again sometime.
Thank you, Alvin. If there's nobody else, then I'll ask, I think Nick wanted to share a few words, so I'll ask Nick to come up at this time then.
Thank you. Thank you for the music this morning, the message, for the incredibly generous and thoughtful gifts, and for your very kind words. I anticipated I'd have opportunity to share just a few words of thanks today. I wasn't sure how to reflect on my time of ministry at St. Catherine's as it now comes to a close. I thought about it for a while and decided that what I would do is share a list of some of the things I'll be packing with from my office and reflect on each of them as a kind of symbol for me. I chose 10 of them, maybe David Letterman style, except less funny. Maybe if I riff with Alvin as musician here, it would fit. But I'll read through them quickly. Want to respect your time and all that's already been said. The first thing, packing with me. A carved stone candle holder from 10,000 Villages. This was given to me by Marilyn Rudy Frace, our conference pastor. I received it upon completion of my time in the transitioning into ministry program through MCEC. It was meant for us as pastors as a symbol of the light of Christ as it goes with us. For myself, however, it's come to mean something else as well. It's the reminder of the tremendous support I've been shown through this time, over these past 6 years of ministry. As you've heard a number of times now, I came here as, if I'm getting it right, interim youth worker, which became youth pastor, which became transitional pastor, and then lead pastor. In the time I've been here, I've been installed, licensed, and ordained. And so looking at that little candle holder, I'll remember the growth I was privileged to have during my time here. The second thing packing with me, a file of borscht recipes. Technically, I'm not packing this with me. Though as someone who enjoys cooking and root vegetable soups, I was certainly tempted. The portions, however, are simply far too large for me to make any use of. 13 pounds of carrots, 16 heads of cabbage, 36 pounds of potatoes. The file, of course, contains decades worth of church supper logs in true Mennonite form. I took pictures, which I'll keep. I was amused that those recipes would have somehow made their way to that office as central information for the lead pastor. And I took pictures to remind myself of the many hours spent in the church kitchen, around gym tables, picnic tables, tables in homes with you. The third thing, a wood carving bearing a quote in the logo for Mennonite Central Committee. Ann Hubert gave this to me, and I'll treasure it, even though it's worn from so many years now, and I'll find a place to hang it when we move. Many of you will recognize the words of that quote to hear them, taken from a longer quote by Menno Simons. True evangelical faith cannot lie dormant. It clothes the naked, it feeds the hungry, it comforts the sorrowful, it shelters the destitute, it serves those who harm it, it binds up that which is wounded, it becomes all things to all people. Can't quite remember, but seem to recall that Anne found this sorting through old quilting supplies. Either way, it's a quote I love, and it will remind me of many conversations around those quilting tables, which represent just one part of this church's long commitment to living out that service in the spirit of those words. Fourth thing I'll pack with me from my office, my Bruce Trail map and poster. I started hiking the Bruce Trail in 2017, 1 year after I began my work here. Like many things in my life, I've talked about it far too often. My wife tells me I need more hobbies. I suppose, though, it's because it's become a kind of second sanctuary for me as I've pastored. Thank you again for those words, Paul. I'll be leaving this province having completed 400 kilometers or so of it. I don't know what will become of that project, but as I shared last week, comforted by the abundance of trail networks that await me on the other side of the country. Number five, empty terracotta pots. Sadly, I will not be bringing any of my beloved office plants with me. The ones that I had there most recently all died during the spring's lockdown. Irma Kaitler once told me that she managed to keep one of her ferns alive for 30 years. It gave me pause to hear it because that was how old I was at the time. Where I'd have shown the same care, I would have still had the greenery that I bought every year at the church bazaar, and the plants that were given to me on occasion by the likes of Nicole Wiens, Nellie Rempel, and Jake and Helga Bergen. Count it as a loss, but perhaps for the better. I'm not sure how we would have transported them to D.C. Number six, books. So many books, too many books. Ever since we made our decision to move, Megan and I have been dreading the thought of the number of boxes that we'll need to fit into our shipping container. The books that have seen the most use, of course, are those most essential to a minister of Christian worship. The Bibles, the commentaries, prayer books, pastor's manuals, hymnals, and song binders. They'll remain on my shelves as resources for my calling and a reminder as the hundreds of Sundays I shared with you here in the presence of God. Number seven, tic-tacs. I've come to keep a container of mints in my desk drawer at all times. This is because there's been no few Sundays when my beloved Megan has told me, either before or after worship service, that my breath smells absolutely terrible. And she pities all those poor people that I have to greet. For me, it maybe symbolizes a playful recognition of the flaws and foibles I bring to this work. I won't name them, but I hope I've grown in my awareness of them. Those tic-tacs represents the grace required for this sort of thing. Number eight, a stained glass cross. I suspect he won't want to be mentioned, but Jake Weeb made this for me. You may know that he's done this for a number of our pastors without any show as they've come along. I think all his work is beautiful and shows evidence of his thoughtfulness. And when he presented it to me a few years back, he carefully placed it in my hands and said this. I don't know if you remember this, Jake. He said, "This is in case you ever forget what business you're in." Which I think he meant as a joke, but there's a wisdom in those words that I'll take with it as I take it with me. A wisdom akin to that of the Apostle Paul when he told the Corinthian church that he resolved to know nothing but Christ crucified. As a pastor, that's the business I'm in. Number nine, I'll try to speed up here. Hand sewn masks and hand sanitizer. I don't know which of you sewn my fabric mask. Someone here did. I know that Peter Thiessen, or rather one of the Peter Thiessens, has the same one, and so I wonder if it was maybe Helen, or at least they could tell me. In any case, I plan to keep it. A full third of my tenure here and all but a few weeks of my service as lead pastor have taken place during a global pandemic. I'll remember this time accordingly. It's been a difficult time for everyone and for churches included there. But I'm thankful for the ways that we as a church have weathered and pulled through it. And my hope is that the ties that bind would continue to hold and that people would be drawn back when they're ready in these months to come. Finally, number 10, framed pictures of my family. I've had to update these a number of times over the years. I came to St. Catharines just 2 years married and childless. We now leave having celebrated several anniversaries and welcomed two daughters into our home. At my best, I've been stubborn in my love and commitment to them. This has meant reducing my hours last year to support them and has led to long conversations, which ultimately led to a decision to move, to be closer to Megan's side of the family. As a pastor, you hold so many loves in your hearts, and it's not easy to leave a church that you love. And no, it's not any easier for a church to see their pastor go either. But I'm so grateful, so very grateful for the encouragement and understanding you've shared in these decisions. There are other things as well, too many things to list, the sorts of things that every pastor accumulates doing what she or he does and sifts through every now and then at times like these. I've talked far too long already, and so I'll keep it at 10. More important than any of that is the many people who deserve my thanks and yours. I'm most especially grateful for the pastors I've worked alongside with, including especially Randy and Taya, whom I've worked with the longest. I trust you know you're truly privileged, a grace to have leaders like them, and I hope you can tell them as much as often as you can. Kevin Enns has been council chair for nearly as long as I've been here. I've worked, as you know, closely with him. You have absolutely no idea how much time and efforts he and church council put into serving the church. They deserve your thanks as well. Especially these past 2 years when it seems like they've been meeting nearly every other week, or every week it seems. So I'll be sitting in that half-packed office for a few days yet. I may see, talk to a few of you. If not, let me say thank you again to each of you for these years, for the sacred opportunity, for sending me off with a blessing. My encouragement is that you remain steadfast in your commitments, firm in your hope. God has been faithful through so many seasons and will continue to be faithful in the years to come. Thank you.
As we prepare to close off the service, been asked to remind you to exit slowly, and the ushers will direct you. I believe, Russ, are we starting on this side? And it'll be from the back moving forward, and then this side again from the back moving forward. Thank you for your cooperation. We simply ask this just so we don't pile up too much, but maintain our distance. And we continue to wear our masks as we gravitate around. Nick, we certainly want to wish you God's blessings as you leave, as you go, and knowing that ministry will stay close to your heart. The last while in particular, we have shared a lot through challenging times, and continue of God's grace in our midst for you, but also for us as a Christian community. I invite you to stand. Afterwards, there will be a song for which I'll ask you to sit. But for the benediction, I ask you to stand. As we prepare to depart from this time of worship, and as Nick and Megan, girls, prepare to for another stage of life, a new adventure in life, we share these words. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Be seated, and there will be a closing song, after which the ushers will lead you out.
God.
you take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Christ shall come with shouting.